Well, this morning we are blessed to have one of our missionaries, Byron Grant, with us. Byron and his wife Diane served with NAME, North American Indigenous Ministries, in Vancouver. They began working with NAME in 1979 as part of the first urban missionary work with NAME. They both loved the Lord and were dedicated to doing evangelism, discipleship, and training believers to follow Jesus. They were instrumental in the beginning of many ministries, including New Beginnings Baptist Church. In 2015, Byron became the senior pastor at that church and is still currently leading there. In May of 2024, his wife, Diane, went to be with the Lord after 50 years of marriage and 45 years of ministry. Wow, Byron. We are thankful for their faithful service to the Lord and are very blessed to have Byron here with us this morning. Let me pray for you, Byron. Father, I thank you for Byron. I thank you for his ministry, he and Diane, for all those years. And we thank you that now he is serving you in New Beginnings and that you brought him here today for a reason. And Lord, as he preaches to us, would he be faithful to your word? Would he please you with the message he has for us this morning? And Father, would we be listening? Would we hear from your word exactly what you would like us to? And would you change us and grow us by your spirit, by your power? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Thomas. It's good to be with you this morning, and thank you for inviting me to come. I want to thank you, first of all, for your prayers and the love and support that you have shown to us through New Beginnings for many years. We had many years of praise in the park where many of you came and helped and were part of that outreach into our community in East Vancouver. We are very glad to have had that support. I'm sorry that the last 3 years that we did it, it rained every single time. And we now no longer do the praise in the park, but we are carrying on other ministries at New Beginnings. The last 15 months for me have been a time of adjustment. As Pastor Thomas said, my wife passed away, went to be with the Lord after a very short, intense battle with cancer, and it was a shock to us. She was my partner in ministry and walked alongside in everything that we did. And I miss her a lot, but it's been good to see the people of New Beginnings begin to step up and take on responsibilities that Diane did, and they've participated in carrying on the ministry. God is blessed in the work at New Beginnings. Last October, I baptized 13 people on Thanksgiving Sunday. 8 of them were youth who are part of our church, and it was great to see them follow the Lord. It was a result of ministry of our youth department, but also Camp Kwanos and the ministry that they have had as a part of reaching out to our youth. Then on July 27th this year, I baptized 6 more, and they're following Christ. It's wonderful to see them desire to follow the Lord, and the adults as well. One of the men that was baptized is in a power wheelchair. He has a very debilitating disease that attacks the cartilage in his joints. He's 36 years old and lost both his parents and is now on his own. And he came to our church because we have a ramp and an elevator that we can get him up into the sanctuary. And he became a part of our church about 3 years ago. And we were glad to see Lee come. But he wanted to be baptized. And he's a big guy. And I thought, how are we going to baptize this man? He wants to follow the Lord. He wants to be immersed. He wants to be baptized. And so we were able to get him. He could stand. And we had 4 men who helped him get up the steps and into the baptistry, and we baptized him. And it was a real joy to see his face when he came up out of the water. He was so pleased and so happy that he could proclaim his faith in that way. I just returned on Friday night. Our Air Canada flight made it from San Diego. We were very glad to be able to get on, I think, the last plane out of San Diego. We were on a missions trip to Mexico with eight of our youth and four of us as adults that went along with them. We served the Lord last week in Ensenada, Mexico, with Youth with a Mission. And it was a very good week to spend with our youth. Our major project there was to build a house for a needy family. It was a family of four that lived in a little 8 foot by 8 foot shack with no running water, a dirt floor, just a very humble abode. And our team went in and built a 16 by 20 foot house with two bedrooms and a living room area, provided them a shelter with three windows and a door that locked. What a change for that family. Our youth did a great job. They worked hard. And the leader from Homes of Hope in Mexico, Mexican man who was kind of the contractor for the project, he said, "I've never seen a team this small build a house in 3 days and work as hard as your kids did." And we were just really thrilled that these young people, First Nations youth from the inner city in Vancouver, were able to go and minister to that family to encourage them. The theme of the mission down there was called, 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 Called. The speaker challenged the students to consider that they were called by God, that God had chosen them, called them by name. And for youth from troubled families, from backgrounds of abuse, abandonment, addictions, deserted, some of them by earthly families and friends, and a society that did not accept them, that they were called by the Lord to be a part of his family. And they were called to live for Christ daily, to follow him, to be his disciple, and called to serve the Lord in whatever we do. This morning, I want to think with us about the Great Commission. I know for you as a church of people who have a heart for missions, this is a very familiar passage, but it's one that's very important to us. It's a command from our Lord. And so I found in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says this: Jesus came to them, to his disciples, on the day of his ascension. And he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The Great Commission applies to each and every one of us. It's not just for your pastors. It's not just for the Sunday school teachers, for the youth workers, but it's for every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. If we have accepted him as our Savior, it's for us. Jesus has all authority. No one can take it away from him. The speaker shared a story of he and his wife wanted to adopt a child. They adopted a boy from the Congo in Africa. And they were working in the United States, pastoring a church. And they went through all of the adoption process. They went through all the paperwork. They went through all the legal aspects. And the day they were to get on the plane and go to the Congo and pick up their son, who had been, was almost a year old at that time, the Congolese government canceled all foreign adoptions. And they said, what are we going to do? All authority belongs to Jesus. And so they went to the Congo. And for 2 months, they waited and waited and waited for approval to take their son and bring him back home. The Congolese official was very negative. He did not want to allow them to take their son. And after 2 months of waiting, daily sitting in the office, waiting to receive the permission, all the paperwork, legal, was in order. And finally, the official was so disgusted that he said, take him and get out of here, but you can't fly out of the Congo, because if you leave with your son as a white person taking a black son out of Congo, all the other international adoptions will want to go through as well. So you have to fly out of the next country. Talk about Air Canada going on strike. Well, this was, you had to fly from another country on a different airline. And he made it across the country into the next country, was able to fly home. Their son is now a teenager. He was there on the missions trip with us. But all authority belongs to Jesus. You know, there's nothing that we can do on our own authority, but our authority comes from our Lord. And then Jesus said, therefore, go. He assumes that we're moving. It's a participle that says, as you're going. So God assumes that we are out there going. Therefore, he says, go, make disciples. His disciples, as disciples, we should be living each moment for his purpose. He's the one who needs to have first place in our life, in everything, as Colossians 1:18 tells us, that he is to become first place in all that we do. So we live our lives daily for him, to make disciples. As followers of Jesus, learning, growing, being transformed, not by us, not changing ourselves, but being transformed by God's word. I love Romans 12, that we are transformed by God. The word in Greek is metamorphosis. It's the word we get the process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. God changes us. We're different. We should be different in our world. We emphasize that to our youth, is how we can live differently, because we've been called by God to serve, to be disciplers, to make disciples. That's what we're here for. And so God has called us to come out and to tell others about him, to teach them, to transform their lives, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all that he has commanded us. And that's the mission that we are at in New Beginnings. We're trying to encourage our people to become disciple makers, to become people who demonstrate God's love to the hurting and broken people of East Vancouver. We serve a hurting community. I've described the church as a hospital for people who are spiritually sick. It's a place where we can come and find healing for our spiritual needs, a place where we can grow and be healed. New Beginnings is the emergency ward of that hospital. We deal with very hurting, very broken people. Many of the people that in our community are going through great loss. In the last 4 years, I have done 48 funerals. Very few of them have been heart problems, cancer, diabetes. Most of them have been young people dying of drug overdoses because of the extent of fentanyl in our community. And as I do funerals, the only thing the Lord has got me through those funerals is He's shown me that I have preached the gospel to more First Nations people in the last 4 years than I have probably in all the previous years of ministry. Our mission is to share the gospel, to bring love and hope found in Jesus Christ to hurting and broken people in East Vancouver. As we went through our devotions with the boys and girls in Mexico, we talked about becoming fishers of men. And they were challenged to pick up a little fish off the table and to give that fish a name of somebody that you're going to go fishing for, somebody that God has laid on your heart to go and share the gospel with. One of our boys picked up a fish, and he said, "This fish is my mom. That's who I'm going to share Christ with."
These young people have caught the vision to reach out to those they love who are hurting and broken, struggling in addictions, and needing the transformation that God brings. And so, as we minister to the wounded and the broken, I'll tell you a story about one of our men. We had a homeless man come, started sleeping on the front porch of the church about 4 or 5 years ago. He was a man who had been living on the street for 20 years. And we tried to reach out to him to say, "Yeah, come on in to the church." He said, "No, I'm not worthy of coming into the church. If I walk into that sanctuary, God will strike me dead because of the things I've done in my life." He was terrified. He wouldn't come in. We began to just continually reach out to him, to give him food, to give him, you know, sometimes he needed a blanket that we could share with him. As he started to come around, we would, on Wednesday nights, we'd do dinner and a movie. And we were showing The Chosen and having dinner. And we would invite him to come in. We finally got him to come into the church entryway. He would sit out in the entryway of the church and watch the movie through the doors. He wouldn't come into the sanctuary. But we'd serve him a plate of food and he'd eat out in the entryway and watch. He began to help clean up around the church. He would pick up trash that other people would leave around their church. Last year, he started coming into the church
He attended service once in a while. He would come in and sit. Sometimes he wouldn't stay for the whole service. He'd get up and walk out. But he was coming. As we continued to minister to him and show him love, this year he started coming to Bible study with the adults on Tuesday nights. He sat in our Bible study. And sometime towards the end of May, the first part of June, he accepted Christ into his life. And it was such a change to see the joy on his face. But last October, when we had that terrible, cold, rainy time, we used to have a bin outside the church that we put cardboard in for recycling. Sometimes he would sleep in that bin, and it was cold and rainy and wet, and so we offered him to sleep in our bus because we lost our driver for our bus, and we weren't using it regularly, so we let him move into the bus, and he'd been staying in our bus and sleeping in the bus through that winter time. But this year, as he started coming to Bible study and accepted the Lord, he still had struggles. He still struggled with his addiction. But we knew that the Lord was going to transform him and change him. He wanted to be baptized. And we were so excited about him coming in July. As the day drew near, he would ask, When is baptism? When is the baptism? And he was so excited. But then the week before our baptism, he kind of disappeared. That wasn't unusual, but it was something that we were concerned about. We kept searching for him in the community because sometimes he would go and sleep someplace else where it was a little cooler than in our bus. And he usually would come back after a couple days. But when we got to the baptism, he didn't show up. And we were concerned. We kept looking for him. And then on July 29th, on Tuesday, after our baptism, one of the men of our church, David, and I went looking for him. And we found him in the bus, dead. He'd passed away in the bus. And, you know, just the thought of him just having come to know Christ, knowing that the struggles that he'd gone through, he wanted to follow. He wanted the Lord to change his life. But he was overcome. And so we're going to be holding a funeral service for him in September, trying to find his family. They're scattered all over, and we're trying to connect people with him. But God works in people's lives. It's our job to make disciples. We've been called to be disciple makers, and God has given us that command for each and every one of us to follow. God has been good to us in giving us people whose lives are changed, and we see the transformation that they have made. Another thing that God has done for us at New Beginnings is God has brought along Pastor Peter Park, who was at Faith Baptist Church in South Vancouver. Peter is Korean. He has a heart for First Nations people. He's been carrying on a ministry to the people in Lytton for about 12 years, going up and doing ministry there. But he felt like he wanted to be mentored, wanted to be discipled in following cross-cultural ministry with First Nations people. And he came to me and asked me if I would mentor him. And we've been praying for a long time for someone to come and be able to take over for ministry as pastor at New Beginnings. Because I'm 75. I'm not as young as I used to be. And after a week of missions trip with our youth, I'm feeling my age today. I'm stiff. But I know that someday in the next couple of 3 years, I need to kind of step back. And the Lord's spoken to me about those things. And so we've been praying and asking God to bring someone in. And Peter's come to join us in ministry as co-lead pastor with me. And I'm so thankful to have him to carry on that ministry. We're looking to see God do great things in East Vancouver. And we thank you for your support, for your prayers for us as a church, for lifting up the people in the inner city. God has given us the command to reach out to them. And so today, as we think about this passage of Scripture, Jesus gave us this command that all authority is given to him in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. My challenge to us this morning is, first of all, do you know that you've been called? Are you here this morning and have never answered that call? Scripture says, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open that door, I will come in and I will sup with them. I will eat with them. He promises to do that. This morning, he's calling your name. He's standing at the door and knocking. As I told a RCMP officer that I shared Christ with, he's not going to kick the door down. You've got to open the door. If you open the door and allow him to come in, he will come in. He's calling you by name. If you have, I encourage you to do that today, to receive him as Savior and Lord. And then to those of us who know the Lord, you've been called to be a disciple maker. You've also been called to be a disciple. Are you a disciple of Jesus this morning? Are you learning, growing, following him? Or is it just a routine to come to church on Sunday and be a part of a community of church? One of the skits that the people did in Mexico was the first person came out to look for people to share with. And pretty soon the others all came to join and they all piled on top of each other. Kind of like we do in the church. We all come together. But we need to be disciple makers, to reach out. God has called you to be a fisher of men. He said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. And then, have you been called or heard the call to go and reach the unreached? Those who don't know, who've never heard. Romans 10 tells us, how can they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him, the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Pray for your youth who are in Montreal. What an exciting journey that's going to be for them. not what they planned, but God leads other directions. And, you know, to see them go to Montreal and minister. There are thousands of people in our world who need the Lord. When God called me to be a missionary, one of the things that challenged me was that I heard that 90% of the full-time Christian workers in the world work with 10% of the world's population. That statistic hasn't changed very much in the last 50 years. We need people to go to unreached areas. We have unreached people right here in Canada. The First Nations people of our country are a people group that is unreached because of the things that were done in the name of Christianity. They have great resistance and barriers that have to be overcome. And so, demonstrating the love and hope found in Jesus Christ with the hurting and broken people of our country is a call that I want to encourage you to become a part of, to reach out to those in your community who need the Lord, who've never heard that Jesus died for them. And so as you do that, may the Lord bless you and increase the numbers of faithful people who will follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the sovereign ruler of the universe. All authority has been given to you. And Lord, as we seek to follow you, may we become disciple makers who reach out to others, teaching them, instructing them in your ways, following you in your examples, demonstrating grace and mercy to those around us, whether in our jobs, whether in our homes, whether in our schools. Lord, we pray that you would just provide strength, wisdom, and courage that we might share your love with those who need to know you. Father, I pray that you would bless these people of Cloverdale Baptist Church. Lord, encourage their hearts, strengthen them to follow you, to live daily in your presence. And Lord, we pray that the witness of Christ would go forth from here to this community and to the world around. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.